brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus, in Yahushua HaMashiach, Lord, Savior, Master of all, King of kings, Lord of lords, one over all, and in him we live and move and have our being. Yes, I greet you in the name of the one that created all of this, created this entire reality that we live in, created this entire situation that you and I are existing in for his purposes at this time. And rather than complaining about it, rather than moaning like the world does because things don't go their way on the external, we've shifted into eternity by oneness with Christ Jesus in the fulfillment of his prayer in John 17. We now have stepped into eternal being. Right here, right now, I am in him. I am an ambassador of Christ Jesus in the world. I am. Therefore, I am in the world, but not of the world. I am here for a window of time in the what would appear to be in the natural, but I've already become eternal. It's just the paradigm that I'm existing in for a window, because God has a purpose in this, and so it's about him, not me. As a servant, as a slave of the King of Kings, it's about him and not me. There is no me. There's only him and us in oneness with him. Yes. So it's not a mental thing. It's not a mental gyration. I can't sit down and say, okay, now we're going to do our three-point sermon. Oh, yeah, I remember those days. Ah, yes, I remember those days where, you know, have your introduction, then tell them what your 3 points are going to be. Go into your 3 points one at a time and then have a conclusion where you wrap it up all together. Bring it together, nice little 35-minute sermon. Then pass around the offering plate for the expansion of the kingdom of God. Yeah, I know. Okay, anyways. How many? Yeah, you guys have been there too, right? Found out that was bunk too, right? Yes, I know, because you know, religion is a massive business in this world. And religion has little to do with relationship with Christ Jesus. You know, there are some social benefits of religion in that, you know, they can do some decent social service. They can do some things to help other people to solve some social ills. But yeah, you know, perhaps maybe, you know, things that are moral or ethical issues, they can potentially be somebody that stands up for that. Sure. When it comes to things of the spirit, look, by and large, religion is a system of social controls. You're not going to control God. And God is not going to fit into your box. Nor are the people that are in oneness with him. Nor are the people that are in I am. They will not fit into the religious box. They won't. They don't belong there. See, okay, when the children of Israel were walking around the desert, and God established the tabernacle, that when they were walking around in the wilderness, he put that there because he desired to dwell among his people. His desire is to be with his people. His desire ultimately is to for his people and him to be one, for the restoration of what was lost in the garden, for the second fulfillment of what Christ Jesus ultimately did. His desire was and is and always has been that. That's the eternal desire of the Father, is that His people would be one in Him. Now, along those lines, that He chose to have the tabernacle set up the way it was. And He gave Moses the outline. He, you know, said, look, do it exactly like this. You know, don't take any liberties. Because this is why. Because also, that was a reflection. That was a natural representation of a spiritual reality. And He wanted people to understand. For a window of time, for them to have a shadow, at least, of what the spiritual reality was and is and will be when everybody shifts into that. Now, this process for us. It's contingent on Him. And throughout time, one thing that's happened, since we are, you know, since this is part of the mystery of God, is eternity being worked out in time and being revealed in time. One of the things that's happened is that, you know, God's decision and the place where He chose to reside, where He chose, because the tabernacle in the wilderness could not contain Him. But He chose to put His presence there, to lead them, you know, by a pillar of fire at night, a cloud during the day. You know, He chose to do it that way. That was His prerogative. And as time has gone on, you know, the choice continues of how He desires to manifest Himself. And you now are the temple of the Spirit of God. I am now the temple of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God dwells in me. The Holy Spirit of God dwells in me. And me, the true me, being consummated with I am. So there is no separation between us, that there is just oneness and existence, being that ambassador of Christ, that representative of the kingdom of God, here in this present darkness, present situation, present world condition. But the way that God desires to do it is in His people, in those that are His. The wheat and the tares grow together. God's temple is inside the wheat. God's temple is Him consummated in the wheat, not a building, not a physical place, not a structure. So, you know, the problem that people had is that religion had become a very big business. Oh, very, very, very big business. And anytime that you have a business, they will fight tooth and nail before they let that thing go. So, yes, the religions of the world kicked it into overdrive, and even this day. But you know, the problem is that if something doesn't work, it becomes irrelevant very quickly. And for the people that desire in themselves, say for example, you have a mechanic. Say for example, all right. If you go to that mechanic 2, 3, 4 times, and that person doesn't do the work that you paid them to do, are you going to keep going back there? No. Why? Because they're not doing what it is that you're going there, you're trying, you're doing your part, and that side is not doing theirs. All right, so in the end, you want a solution, so you're going to keep moving. Now, the religions of the world, they're offering people something. They're saying that, yeah, we'll give you this. We will, you'll have your inner peace. You'll have your, you will have your 70 virgins after you die. You'll have your streets of gold. You'll have your, whatever it is, whatever they need to appeal to. And usually, it's interesting, it's usually to your carnal nature, because that's where most people live and exist and dwell. Anyways, side note, but in this time where things begin to melt down because eternity comes to bear on the natural, the temporal reality, on time, as eternity comes to bear on this dimension, and there's bleed-throughs, and there are all kinds of things that are switching in between. Look, some dead religion is not going to cut it, and the propagators of that, they know that. They know that because people are leaving. They know that because people are cutting out. They're looking for something that works. And in the process of looking for something that works, they're also having to be honest that something's not. Now, there's, of course, there's a lot of stuff in this world that is insane as it is. A lot of people in this world they've got a mind that is off. If you don't have the mind of Christ working in you, it's torturous. It's like being locked in an insane asylum. If you have the mind of Christ, i.e., you're in I Am, and your soul is not that soul, man. That one is not the one that is the primary thing talking in your head. If you have I Am as the Lord in your life, and you're at peace and oneness in that, there's a stillness in you. You can be anywhere and you can be at peace. You can be anywhere and you can be content. You can be anywhere, and that secret of fulfillment that comes by you just being, you're everything is perfect, at peace in the things that matter. That's there. But if you don't have that, the world doesn't have that. Oh gosh, they're constantly pushing and striving towards what they say is hopefully a better tomorrow. Hopefully a better, you know, if I can just, you know, the world is constantly on that. If I can just get whatever, fill in the blank, I will be happy. I will be content. I will be somebody. I will, if I can just get this. And, you know, that perfect partner, that right job promotion, that good car, that, I mean, whatever. And it's constantly this striving towards something that never's there. You know, I think there's you got to check this one. This is a sermon up. It should have gone up by now, by the time this one goes up. You Are I Am is the title. It's a bilingual one. Listen to that one. You know, some of these things are, I mean, the way that one even came out, I mean, that's just God's spirit. See, for me, when I participate in what God is doing in and through even these audios that they go out, I just turn myself over to I Am, and He works through. I've been learning over a window. I've been learning to just how to turn myself over to that for His free flow in and through. I enjoy it. You know, for me, that for me is a joyous thing, a fulfilling thing, to know that the Spirit of God manifests Himself through this vessel the way that He desires to. That's a blessing. To be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing in oneness with the Spirit of God, what we like to call the sweet spot. Yes, well, it's available. You don't have to strive for it. Just do it. Be there. You don't have to strive for it. Just be there. Be there now. You know, there's certain things as God just sort of revealed them along the way. And then I look at, you know, books on my shelves. Things that have been given to me over the years. Things that people have, you know, wanted me to read. And a lot of, you know, even mainstream stuff. And I look at it, and it's so much of it is irrelevant. So much of it comes from a very, very limited, carnal, humanistic mindset. So much of it is actually programming in another way that it's not. There's no freedom there. Well, I'm back. Small there, commercial interruption as such in the course of living our lives in a world breaking down around us in the natural. So, yeah, code word for had a flat tire, had to take care of that, but all is good, all is fine, we keep moving. Yes, so last thing was check that audio. You are I am. Very, very crucial stage right now for God's people to cross into what it is that God's called them to be. You know this thing about oneness in Christ Jesus. It's been a progression to come to the realization of what that means. And now this is not something that man can figure out in his natural mind. This is a revelation of the Spirit of God. That basically God says, okay, I want this to be real to this one of mine. I want him to understand. I want her to understand that they are one in me. And you know, part of life and part of the mystery of life is that experiencing the separation from him. For that window of time is experiencing what it is to be apart from him and then to be restored and made one in him. You know, that is part of life, part of the experience of this life, part of why we came here. So that for all eternity there's an appreciation that we have for what we have in him. And the oneness that we have in him. For God's people, we don't want to be anywhere else. We have zero desire to walk with or serve anyone else but him. Our heart, the core of who we are, the very nature of our being, the very essence of every breath that we take is our desire to be with the Father, to be one in him, for there to be no separation, no division, no distraction. You know, the agony that we face in this world is such, or the despair, or the, you know, just the roughness that we feel in this place is because of the surroundings that we have that are not in connection with him, that are separate from him by their free will, by their choice. And so, and seeing how ugly that all becomes, you know, it is really, really ugly when you see what something is apart from the Spirit of God. It turns into, in the realm of spirit, which is what's real, when things go on from this realm into the next, they turn into these grotesque deformed, just hideous in their spiritual being forms that continue on. Because anything that is not connected to God is dysfunctional. Anything that is not connected to the source of life is eternal garbage, eternal trash. Now, I know people get upset about that, get upset about the fact of things being what they are. Look, people choose it. They choose it. They choose to walk away from Him. That's just a consequence of their choice. Like I've said before, a good friend of mine told me, very true, you can choose to do whatever you want, you just can't choose the consequences. It's your choice. Your choice. The world's making choices all the time. The people in the world are making choices all the time. You know, that's also one of the tricks of the world system, is that they would try to tell you, hey, you can choose to do this, you can choose to do that, and there's no consequences. Yay! Free sin! No. Sorry, not quite. You can choose, sure, go for it, if you choose that, but you can't choose your harvest. You can choose what you put in the ground, you just can't choose what comes back to you. And it is a harsh reality for many people, because the thing is what they harvest, most of the time they don't like it. They don't like it. They don't like what they get back. But what are you complaining about? It's what you sowed. You know, that's why people, you know, they want to try to, oh, they would love to legislate away the consequences if they could. But you know what? You cannot hide from the spiritual impact of the decisions that you make in this life. See, this is why the foolishness of so many of these people in the world that are in positions of authority in the natural, and they think that they're above and beyond reproach. Don't be an idiot. Look, your life, everything, every decision you make, it is all brought after this life under the scrutiny of, I mean, in this life you're going to have consequences anyways, but when you're done here, everything is brought into the light and shown for what it is. And every decision made, every thought that you've had, every action that you've taken, apart from the Spirit of God and what it's resulted in, all of that is going to be brought to bear. And you are accountable. No one gets away with anything. So for those guys, for you guys out there that are screaming and hollering and yelling about all these different things, sure, go for it if that's what God's called you to do. But in that process of that, realize that nobody gets away with anything. Not a soul. Not a soul came into this world that stays in this world. And not a soul gets away with anything. Nobody gets away with anything. Nope. Either you are covered by the blood of Jesus, redeemed by Him, and you are walking with Him. He's Lord, He's Savior. Your spiritual direction, your spiritual volition is to Him, is in that way, is in that line. You are directing towards the Father. And even if you haven't got it all figured out, which is fine, you're still, every ounce of who you are is moving in that direction, moving in that way, moving towards Him. If that is the case, you're fine. If that's not the case, you're screwed. Sorry. No, what am I saying? Sorry. No, should I apologize for telling you the truth? Should I apologize to you? Actually, the ones who should be apologizing to you are these people that stand in seats of spiritual authority. Because scriptures tell us that those that preach and teach incur stricter judgment. The ones who should be apologizing to you are the people that have lied to you. The people that have told you that God is something that He is not. the people that have turned the things of God into merchandising. They've turned God's house, if you would, or everything relating to what is true and what is right and what is good, into a commercial market. The things of God don't run like a business. Things of God run as the Spirit leads and guides them. And people fall into line with what God is doing. It's just the way it is. So if you fail to do that, if you fail to line up with what God is doing, you're in a bad way. So, I mean, my prayer so often for so many of these guys in my heart, I'm just like, Lord, please, if they're redeemable, if they can be saved, if they can be salvaged, would you please open their eyes so that they can see? Would you please bring them around so that they can be healed, so that they can be restored? If God can restore murderers like Saul, who later became Paul, or Moses, these are killers, mind you. In the eyes of the world, they're the ones that would be on death row and walking around in orange or red jumpers. If God can restore them, then He can restore anyone. The people that seem like they're beyond that possibility, God's—that's all right for Him. That said, free will is involved. And unless people choose to line up with what God is doing, you get the eternal ramifications of your choice. I do believe that there's a lot that can turn and will turn in these days. I do believe that there is a strong harvest of souls for the kingdom on the horizon. But it's not going to come like people think. It's not going to come the way that people... You're not going to be able to stick it in a building. It's, you know, because, oh gosh, they would love that. The building people, they would love that. The box people. We gotta come up with the right language so you can understand. What people typically refer to as the church, quote unquote, which it builds around... a facility, a physical structure that people serve, that is their idol. They do everything for that box. I mean, they're the box people. They're the building people. Church, look, you are the church. I am the church. We are the church of the living God, built on the foundation of the revelation of who Christ Jesus is. That is the rock that God said, Jesus said to Peter, on this rock I will build my church. What rock? On the revelation of who Christ Jesus is. Obviously, for the even somewhat half-brained people, they can tell that it wasn't Peter, that physical person. Because, all right, here, look. If you were... Look. Do you know that Peter wasn't the closest to Jesus? That... Yeah, Jesus had the three, Peter, James, and John. But John was closer to Jesus than Peter. John was known as the disciple that Jesus loved. He was also at the feast when... at the Last Supper, that is, when Jesus spoke about His betrayal, Peter knew there was something that John could ask Jesus, and John would get an answer from Jesus, and Peter may not. That's why Peter said to John, hey, ask him who he means. And then Jesus says to John, you know, it's the person that I give this piece of bread to, that dips this in the bowl. And then he proceeds to do it, give it to Judas. Obviously, the church was not built for apostolic succession on Peter. Hello, hello, my Catholic brothers out there. Don't get mad at me. Go check your word. Go take a look for yourself. Don't believe me because I say it. Ask the living God. Check the scriptures. Yeah, go and check it out. Because why would you want your life to be based on a delusion? Why would you want your life to be based on a deception? Why would you want to believe something that's not true and go through life with that lie? I mean, why? Wouldn't you want to know the truth? Thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the truth. So, yes, and even back to, upon this rock I will build my church. Words used there, Petra and Petros. Petra, upon this big rock I will build my church. And he says, you are Petros, Peter, small rock, little rock. And upon this big rock, I will build my church. Upon this Petra, I will build my church. The Petra being the revelation of who Christ Jesus is. Let me ask you, is that what the Church of the Living God is built upon? Yes, indeed. I can see you nodding. Yes, indeed. The Church of the Living God, the Church of Christ Jesus, that which is growing and filling the whole earth, is built on the revelation of who Christ Jesus is. And when a soul comes to the revelation of this is who he is, oh my gosh, thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God. You are the Savior. You are the Messiah. You are the source of life. In you, I must live and move and have my being. Oneness with you is the inheritance that God intended for me. And it's what I have access to now. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you, Lord, for your blood that was shed for us for the remission of sins. And what's been made available now. Oh, brothers and sisters, hey, go for truth. Desire truth. Long for truth. Seek it with all of your heart. Love it. Love the truth. Love the truth. Truth is a beautiful thing. It's beautiful. In the realm of spirit, truth is beautiful. And those that are fused with truth in the realm of spirit, they're beautiful. Liars are very ugly. In the realm of spirit, they're very ugly. And you know something too? For those of you out there that would like to look good in the natural, I'll tell you what, liars in the natural deteriorate very fast. Liars in the natural look ugly much quicker. They deteriorate very quickly in their physical body, in their physical being. They begin to rot from the inside much, much faster than even a normal worlder. Ah, because a lie is diametrically opposed to truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So when a person chooses a lie, their free will turns them 180 degrees in the opposite direction. 180 degrees away from life. 180 degrees in the opposite direction. And they're moving swiftly in that path. You move away from the source, you move away from the vine. The faster that you move away from that, the quicker that you dry up and die and wither away. I'm amazed sometimes at how fast some of these world leaders just get old. And just look old. I'm just like, what happened to you? Consequently, and quite opposite, God's children, those that walk with him, they're beautiful. Even in the natural, they just, there's something about their face. where they just shine. They just reflect the presence of God. There's a youth to them. There's a childlike innocence to them that, you know, they look good at every age. You know that God's people are good-looking people? Good-looking people, they shine. They shine with His presence. And I know the world's got their plastic surgeries and their nips and tucks and pull that skin back and yank it here and pull it there and cut this and trim that and do all of that. But at the end of the day, they got to slather over that with makeup and get some good lighting and all of that post-production, and they're done, but they still don't look that good. Oh gosh, I saw some music videos recently with some of these artists, and I was like, gosh, after all of that work, you're still hideous. Especially when you can see into the realm of spirit, and you can see that which is motivating them and that which is behind them. Ugh, please. Just go away. Anyways, no, this life is the window of time that the wheat and the tares grow together. The children of light are existing side by side in a hostile world where that which is around them, the majority of it is choosing to go in the other direction, the other way. But live free. Choose life and choose truth. Because, you know, this is the only window of time where this is going to be like this. And for those of you listening in, alright, so say you live another 80 years, another 100 years. Doubtful. But say that happens. So it's a blink of an eye. It's over so quick. And we're out of here. And when you go on into eternity, you go on into, for the children of light now, mind you, the children of truth, you'll go on into rest and into peace and into that place that your heart longs for. But while you're here, God's got something for you. He's got a purpose for you. This is the opportunity for you to be... this is your time on the stage. This is your time in the grand production that God is putting on here on this planet for the entire universe and the cosmos. All creation is groaning for the revelation of the sons and gods, for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. They look forward to that. The sons and daughters of God to be revealed. The revelation of His people. Who they are. How God manifests through them. The mighty works that God does through His chosen, through His elect. Even in this time. Even in time. Which doesn't exist in eternity. But in this paradigm, we work around it. We work with it. For this window. But in time. Ugh. It's, you know what? If you can shift into that gear, you can enjoy the rest of your window here. Taking it as an adventure. You know, many of the things that people worry about, they don't need to be worried about. They don't need to, you don't need to be concerned about them. God's got them under control. But the very fact that you are concerned about them, it takes your mind out of where it needs to be as a follower of Christ. Again, the mind needs to be brought under subjection to the will of God. Just like the flesh. Your members. Um, instruments of righteousness. That's it. Instruments of righteousness, including your mind. Your mind is one of your members. It's part of your being. But again, too many people, their minds are their masters, and they let that mind just bark and bark and bark and bark and bark in their head nonstop. Just keeps going. Doesn't need to. Does not need to. They can be set free from that. They choose. Anyways. But it's all good in Yahushua HaMashiach. It is all good in Jesus Christ. And enjoy the peace that God's given you. Enjoy the rest that you have right now. Look, whatever's going on with you right now, just stop and thank Him. Stop and praise Him. The very fact that you have breath in your lungs and one more moment here in this life is a chance to say thank you, Lord. Be grateful for the life that you have, that He's given you. Submit it to Him. Let Him turn it into exactly what He desires and enjoy it. You were meant to enjoy life. You were meant to enjoy this journey with Him. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Enjoy it. Enjoy the abundant life. I know, there are the austerity measure Christians, quote unquote, that believe that your life should be crappy all the time and this is now your penance. No, they really, really sucky people. They haven't yet understood what it is that God has intended for those that would follow Him. In fact, they could use an entire realignment of their entire being. Be free. Walk in freedom. Walk in truth. Enjoy it. Love life. Praise God. Say thank you. Say thank you to the Spirit of God. Be what He made you to be. You are, I am. Enjoy it. Hey, okay, I got a jet. Love you guys. God bless you. Keep on keeping on. And write us. Write us. Hey, and God bless you guys down in Australia. You know who you are. We've been praying for you. We love you. So, hey. All right, so we'll catch up soon. Keep on keeping on. Talk to you later.